You are strong. You're strong. That's why you're here today.
Hello, we're back. Nah, I'm just kidding. What's up, y'all? This is now episode 3 of Manifesting Motherhood. We have a beautiful, bright, shining light special guest, Angela. It's such a pleasure to see you and feel you. Like, your personality is so big, your light is shining so bright. Definitely want to acknowledge that. Let's remember this is a sacred space. This is a space for storytelling, for processing. Let's welcome our ancestors into this space and just allow for a lot of healing and open conversation to take place here, okay? Ashe, amen. No, I'm just kidding, but for real. And welcome, Angela.
Yay! Thank you, ladies, so much for having me. I am very honored. I'm a little bit nervous because I feel like there's a lot of people, I think, waiting for me to speak on this. And I want to say that when I've never really opened myself up, my private life, it's all pictures and ideas of me on social media, I think for a very long time. And I tend to somehow, we kind of always grow a following. Like, I grew a following on TikTok, like out of nowhere. And
Girl, it's because you're funny.
Oh, and that does not surprise me at all. You're magnetic for sure.
I don't know why, but it makes me a little bit nervous because I doubt myself sometimes, and then I feel like everybody's watching me, and I don't know, like it makes me feel, like I said, not safe. I'm not very open about my private life, and then what you see on my social media is not everything that I am. Does that make sense? There's more to it. I only post the good things, and I'm not posting my bad days because I do have bad days. It's kind of where I'm at.
I think it's also pretty crazy how we got connected because I don't know Angela, and so barely started following you on Instagram. So I guess all of this stuff I don't really know. So I knew when our first conversation, you completely opened up, and I'm like, wow, like I completely understand why. Shout out to Jessica. I completely understand why Jessica was like, no, she has to come on your podcast. And I want to say that your testimony and whatever you're about to share is going to be, I don't know, you shouldn't doubt yourself and you shouldn't be ever ashamed of your testimony. And I think that's something that even us as women, we tend to do, right? It's kind of like, we don't want to share, but I think there's.
Or discredit our journey.
And I agree. I doubt myself in some sense, but then also I mentioned to Jen the very first time we talked on the phone, and I was very open with her, and I told her I'm so excited to do this because my last baby, and I mentioned to her that every baby has taught me something new, and my last baby made me realize, well, first of all, I lost my mother December 6th of 2020. So shortly after that, I became pregnant with Evangeline. She taught me self-love like you can't imagine. With her, it was such an eye-opener for so many things. My friendship, my relationship. Losing my mother, I realized that it's the greatest pain that I've ever dealt with. She's the only parent I had. She brought four kids into the world, and she became a single mother. I joke around about this, but truly I was a love child. So my father wasn't really present through my whole life, and he tried coming back when I was about 21 years old, and he looked for me. He said, that I have a home there with him, and he lives out of state, but I declined to have a relationship with him. And it's because I went through a lot of trauma, abuse as a child. I think for me, I don't hold grudges. I'm at peace now. It felt like, where were you as a parent when I needed you the most? And now you want to come back in my life when you're older. Is it for reassurance to yourself? But I didn't want to question his motive, but I just decided to put that relationship past me because it's something that affected me very negatively growing up. And that's how I treat my relationships now. So I'm all about energy. I have a sister that's 2 years older than me. And then my older sister, she's, I want to say, about 19 years older than me. And then I have a brother after her. So they are my half sibling. I don't really have a relationship with two of them. And it's because, again, based on my energy and how I can't, they drain my energy. They bring so much negativity into my life that I would rather separate that relationship and make sure that I am okay. And that's something that I just learned. And it has to do with boundaries, right? Like, I just learned self-love. I just started practicing boundaries. And it's funny because I tell my niece will come to me sometimes and she's like, how do I say it? How do I tell this person this? And I tell her, just tell them, say it kindly, because I believe in kindness, right? I believe in the power of kindness also. So I said, say it kindly, and just stare. You don't have to keep going. Just say it how you feel and just stare. And she's like,
right, concisely and yes. direct. Yes. Boom.
And, you know, I think for me, sometimes I say I have a lot of weaknesses. But for me, my weakness is that I don't sugarcoat. I come out very blunt and I don't mean harm. I just would rather hear it for what it is. I have thick skin. I had to develop thick skin through everything that I've been through. It's not something that you can just take things. And I'm not saying that it's good to take things, because, again, I'm working on boundaries, you know, and expressing myself and telling people how I feel, putting my feelings first before, you know, if I can't do something for you and I'm going to bend out of my way and jeopardize my mental health, my energy, my spirit to help you. And that's a boundary, you know, and I tell my niece, like, now look at someone, say what you need to say, and just pause and give them time to respond.
For me, boundaries is not about teaching others how to act, but teaching others how they can treat you. Because you can't control anyone by any means. And so it's just telling them, like, you can't talk to me like that. Versus, like, you should do this. So it's rooted in I statements.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I think that sometimes you don't necessarily have to tell someone, like, don't talk to me like that. Because I think it leads to conflict. I think just the energy, you know, like, me allowing you the space to speak, you know, me allowing you that respect. Mm. Me allowing you for me to pause. I pause when you speak. I think that's like a respect and a boundary. Does that make sense? And I just learned that. I listen a lot to Jay Shetty. I loved his book. Anybody that wants to read a book, I recommend his book, Think Like a Monk. Mm. It is life changing. Okay. And I mean it in all aspects, energy wise, like okay. The way that he teaches you how to be present and soak it in, soak in the moment, be loved. I was listening to one of your podcasts, Jen, with one of your guests. She mentioned how when she's out, she runs into people that she's friends on Instagram and they don't look her way, you know, or they won't greet her in person. But I think sometimes people on social media, again, it's social media. If you notice and if you observe people when you're out, everybody's always on their phone. They're always looking down. You know, they're not present. And I don't know if they do it to kind of like ignore it, because I feel like there's such now, like, we're antisocial now, pretty much. We're just social on social media, which is so strange to me.
Ironic.
Yeah. And you know what? So when I'm out, I try to engage with people, you know, like I run into like, hey, how's your day? Like, you know, how's it going? Like, so I feel like that's what I mean also by being present and absorbing and being love and showing love. You know, you don't have to necessarily go up to someone and be like, I love you, and hug them and kiss them, but just showing, you know, the energy, sharing some energy, you know, looking at somebody in the eyes. I think that shows love. I can sense people. So when I walk into a place, I can feel the love and I can feel the energy. And it's not something that's good, because I just learned through therapy that feeling that way actually stems from childhood trauma. So I just learned that recently.
Yeah, being hypervigilant.
Yes, yes.
Shoot, we 10 minutes in and we already got some tips for everybody. Yeah. No, that was so good. For Cheyenne and for the audience, what is your motherhood journey? Just so we can have, because I feel like you've done so much work. You're all about love. You're all about boundaries. And, you know, I know it took a lot to get to this point, because shoot, I'm 30 and I'm still getting to this point, you know? So I do kind of want to know, and like life and motherhood kind of just frames your character and everything.
I've never had that question asked for me. And I love it, because I feel like I get to learn about myself and how I really feel. When you ask me that question, it stems from my childhood, the motherhood journey. And I'll tell you why. And I want to share this, okay? Growing up with a single mother of four, I felt like my mom was always very, very busy. She was a single mom, so she had to work. And we were home alone most of the time. So growing up, it almost felt like I didn't have that in the home. It felt lonely. You know, I felt this void. There was something missing. Although I had my sister, when I had my daughter, my first daughter, I was a teenage mom. I was 16 years old. I always say 16 and a half because it makes it sound better, right? 16. To be so resilient, I became a teenage mom, and then shortly after, a single teenage mom. Didn't move in with this person. It was my very first boyfriend. I lost my virginity to this guy. So my mom, she was very harsh. She would tell me, like, what are you gonna do? There wasn't like I'm gonna help you. It was more like, what are you gonna do? Moved out. She actually kicked me out on Halloween. And I remember because, again, it's like all the big events that happened in my life. And I was pregnant, and when I was having sexual intercourse with this person, for some reason, I always thought, you know, oh, teen pregnancy, yeah, it happens, but it can't happen to me. I don't know if I felt invincible or I just thought it happened in movies. And again, my mom was never open with us, you know, about pregnancy or sex or boyfriends, nothing. It was always like, I don't want to talk about it. Why do you want to know? You're at that age when you're a teenager where everybody's talking about sex, kissing, you know, all of that. And so all of my friends were not virgins anymore. And so I wanted to see what it was like, and ended up getting pregnant, right? Years, of course, you know, after now, all of my kids, when you ask me, like, what is your motherhood journey? I feel like they filled that void. I don't feel lonely. I think there's a difference between being alone. When people tell me, like, do you get lonely? You know, there's a difference between being alone and feeling lonely. And lonely is not something that I feel anymore. I wouldn't say years, but in the last couple of years, because even in my relationship, when I had the picture perfect family and the home and the 1 acre where my kids can play, and I was with somebody that I thought I was going to be with, person that I was with, and I thought I was going to grow old with this person, even then there was something missing. Oh, I would sit outside my house and I would stare at the house, and I always felt like there's something missing, you know, and I would communicate that to my ex-partner, and I would tell him, like, I'm not happy. I couldn't figure out why, but it has to do with actually presence. I would tell him, like, I feel lonely with you, because he wasn't present. He was there, but not present. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Like emotionless.
No, I feel it. I feel it. I know exactly what you mean. Yeah.
And not until I separated and I actually fully healed, because I'm working on myself every single day. I swear, my kids just sometimes, like, I'm like, you are triggering me right now. There's a trauma that you're triggering. And so I have to, like, ask myself, like, why am I feeling this? I realize that I am not lonely. I have my kids, and I've always had them, and they fulfill that void, and they fulfill that emptiness that I felt. And it's like healing my inner child. I healed that with them. So when you ask me, like, what is your motherhood journey? And honestly, sometimes I feel like I'm just a mom, but then sometimes I feel like, no, I'm not just a mom. Stuck for a very long time wanting that picture perfect family, wanting a family, the stigma around single mothers and struggling and all of that, you know, I was afraid. But that fear took my power. The fear of being alone took my power in my relationship. I dealt with so much. Feel like I accepted the bare minimum, which made me lose my self-love, because I was so fearful of not being able to do it, struggling of being a single mother of four. A single mother of four? Man, that's a lot of kids. That's what I get all the time. But now I'm like, yeah, I'm a single mother of four. Feels empowering to me, because I feel happy. I am at peace. There is nothing. I would trade it all again to feel the way that I'm feeling now, and it's peaceful. Losing my mother made me grow as a person and realize what I deserve. And it's so crazy, because my pregnancy was the darkest phase of my whole life due to my mom not being present, having to do the baby shower by myself and just my kids. But through it all, I realized, you know, when I tell you that I'm not lonely, my kids have always been present. My daughters, my two oldest ones, they're my cheerleaders. You know, they tell me, like, mom, it's okay. I haven't had a hard day, I feel, for a while, where bawling in front of them, because I have done that before. And sometimes I say, like, I'm sorry, girls, like, I don't want to cause any trauma to them, because I think I'm very conscious about that too, like, oh my god, what trauma am I going to give my kids now? And I apologize, but they cheer me on. And Mia, the one that's 11 years old, I feel like she tries to test me a lot, but she's taught me patience, and she's also very sweet. Like, she knows when I'm having a hard day, and she'll come up to me and she'll tell me, mom, it's okay. It's going to be okay. I feel like that is the void. I think that is the reassurance. And I don't want to put that pressure on my kids, but I think because I reciprocate that to them and they see me, they learn that behavior from me. And I think it's a healthy thing. We're very open in this home, very open with them, and they're very open with me. And that's something that I think our parent, for me, it's my mom wasn't that way. So I always tell my kids, it is my job to be a better mother than my mom, but it is your job to be a better mother than what I am to you when you have kids. Let's not repeat the cycle. So if I'm doing something that you don't like, communicate that to me so I can work on it. And I tell them that. My son, for example, he has too many toys, but it's as simple as this. And this is what I mean by boundaries with kids. So recently I said, hey son, like, we have to clean up your room. Like, you have a lot of toys. He's like, okay. So like, I sat there and I was like, okay, let's go through your toys. Like, which ones do you want? He's like, okay, I want this one. I want this one. So he has this big like Raceway table that he doesn't play with it anymore. He stores junk food in it. And I don't know why he does that, right? But he does. So I said, hey, is it okay? Like, we need to get your new TV. Like, are you okay with me getting rid of this? And this is the thing that I'm teaching him boundaries, right? Because I want him to know that if he's touching my stuff, or if he's gonna do anything with my stuff, he has to ask. So I said, hey, like, is it okay if I get rid of it? And he's like, yeah, that's fine. I don't use it anymore. It's okay. And I said, okay, I'm gonna give it to somebody that has kids or a little boy, you know? And he's like, yeah, that's okay. And you know, he's like, it's cool. So I'm like, okay. I just didn't want him to come home and just see it gone and be like, what happened? Little ways to kind of teach your kids communication. And I feel like that's the way that I teach my kids to communicate with me. It's just being very open. My daughters, they encourage me. Sometimes my friends will invite me out and they'll be like, oh, let's go to brunch, or let's go have like mimosas, or let's go a night out. And so I'll make plans and I'll be super excited. And then at the end, I'll be like, I don't want to go anymore. No, I don't think I'm going. I think I'm just going to cancel. I'm not feeling it. And my daughters will be like, no, mom, like, just go. It's okay. We'll be okay. Just go. But it's me being open with them as to what I am doing, not hiding things from them. And I think they respect that. I respect a lot of the things that they ask me to do also. Recently, my 13-year-old daughter, she's going through the phase of like, okay, boys and middle school. She's in middle school. She'll be a freshman in a couple months. We have this line where I tell her like, okay, I need to look through your phone. Out of the blue, I'll ask her, right? Like, I need to look through your phone. Okay. And she gets a little bit nervous. I said, okay, you can have a phone, but this is the agreement. You know, if your grades are behind, I'm taking the phone. And I tell her it's a privilege. It's not a necessity. So you earn your privilege by good grades and doing good in school and being responsible, you know? So I looked through her phone and I noticed that boy is asking her out on a date. We're sitting down and I looked at her and I got teary-eyed because I realized that she stopped opening up to me. Before, you know, she used to come home and be like, mom, today I met so-and-so and this is how we met and I made a new friend. And I think that's the moment it hit me where my daughter is growing up. This boy is asking her like, hey, if you want to watch the new movie, I don't know what movie it was. Want to know if you want to go watch this new movie with me? So she kind of made up a white lie. She said, oh, I already have plans to go with Fred. So I talked to her and I said, I want you to know that you shouldn't be afraid to ask me. Like, if you want to go, I'm not giving you permission to date because I hope that if you feel responsible enough to date, you're going to ask me and we can have a conversation when you get to that point. I said, but if you want to go to the movies, of course, I don't want to do this, but I also don't want my daughter to hide things, right? I'm not enabling it, but I'm giving her the open space to communicate with me. So I said, hey, if you want to go watch the movies with your friend, there's nothing wrong with that. Just because he's a boy, that's fine. But I'll take you guys and I can watch a movie. I'll sit like a couple rows down. I won't be watching you guys. You know, if you want, you can sit behind me or in front. I'm giving her options. She's like, no, mom, it's okay. It's because I don't like him. And I said, okay, but I just want you to know that if you do want to go to the movies, you can ask. It doesn't have to be either with the boy. It can be with your friends, but I want you to be open with me. So she understood that. And I let her know that I was a little bit sad because she stopped being very open. You know, she's like, mom, can Kalayla come home? And I'm like, who's Kalayla? Like, when, how long has she been your friend? You know? And then, well, I worked for the district. I no longer work there. So don't go stalking me, people. But I used to work there. She goes to school, you know, around the district boundaries. And so I tend to know a lot of the parents because I work with them at the school district. Going to a basketball game, I see the parents. I'm like, oh, it's you. Like, okay, now I feel a lot more comfortable. Seeing the friends that my daughter is now, you know, coming close to and seeing them, it gives me reassurance that I am doing something great. You know, and she's telling me like, mom, I'm signing up for these classes. So whenever I finish high school, I can have some college credit. And it makes me proud, honestly, because I feel like when she gets older and she goes off to college and she's done with her career, I'm going to say, I did that. That is my pride. You know, like, I did that. Her father passed away, you know, like I mentioned earlier, when she was, I want to say she was about 7 years old. But again, he was never part of her life. But I think she had some hope that at some point she would develop that relationship with him. So it was still soul crushing for her. She had a really hard time. Again, that's my pride. You know, I'm resilient because of her. I have to. I can't give up. I have to make it because I'm her only parent. I'm her everything. I come from a very small family. So it's just my sister and my niece. And that's about it. So if I'm not here, it's like I can't give up because I have this one child that needs me. Like I said, every kid has taught me something about myself. And even if I wanted to give up, I can't give up for my daughter. It's amazing now. I don't want to say I'm older because I'm only 30.
And 30 is the new 20, okay? So.
Right? I know. I don't know if it's because maybe maturity, you know, everything that I've been through that now. I didn't then, but I realize how every child now has taught me something. Mentally, I feel very wise. Spiritually also. I always tell my niece this too, and I'm very close to my niece. And I was like, have you ever seen those older people that are just happy, like in a cane, and they're always talking to somebody like, hi, sweetheart. Like, I'm like, I feel like that's going to be me. Because I feel that way now. Like I go anywhere and I spark a conversation with random people. Like I went to the Filipino store here and then the guy offered me a job and I'm like, oh no, it's okay, like I'm not looking for a job, you know. He's like, do you know anybody that's looking for a job? I'm like, no, maybe my nephew, he's 14. I feel like me being this way and realizing everything with all of my kids, this they made me who I am now, and I think that I'm still growing. They're growing, so I'm growing with them. Still have a lot to learn. I still have, I think, the roughest phase, which is the teenage phase. And I hope and I pray to God that he gives me the strength and continues to give me the resiliency to push through and keep growing, you know, myself and my kids. So that's my motherhood journey. When you ask me, what is the motherhood journey for you, Jen? That was a very long answer. I'm sorry.
No, don't be sorry. I fully enjoyed that. And there was a point where I was like, everybody better get their tissue ready. No, seriously, because it was, I guess I also never thought about how the motherhood journey sparks with your own parents, right? I think, Shyam, you might have talked this very like briefly, but I don't think I really thought about it until I heard your answer, because it all does connect. And I'm going to cry. I love that point where you said, I have to be a better mom than my mom, and then my kids have to be a better parent than me. Like, that is just probably the most powerful thing that came through. You mentioned how, like, all of the peace that you feel now, you going through, like, that dark moment of, like, you know, your pregnancy. That is just, I couldn't imagine grief during that time when you're supposed to feel so much joy, right? And a few episodes back, I think I was talking about how, like, the devil goes fishing in dark waters. And it's like in those moments, he's trying to steal your joy, right? And so
I want to take a moment to emphasize like how dark this period was. It was the point where like, and I was working. I worked till the very last hour. You know, I was grieving and working. And even when I lost my mother and I was doing the funeral arrangements, I was working. You know, I was on my laptop sending emails, and I was supposed to be on a bereavement leave when she passed. But I think all of the adrenaline rushing and me just trying to cover those emotions. I did mention to Jen too that I was on antidepressants at that time also. It was a way of me avoiding my emotions. So when I became pregnant with my daughter, I forced myself to sit in those emotions. So it was dark. It was dark where I would cry in the shower because I didn't want my kids to see me crying. Sometimes I would be eating and I would just cry. It was because I hadn't grieved my mother, because I didn't sit with my emotions. I didn't feel what I was supposed to be feeling. But for a moment, I thought, you know, something's going to be wrong with my baby. Like, I had maybe like 5 ultrasounds where they couldn't see their lip, her lip and or her nose. So the last ultrasound that I went to, they mentioned how, okay, well, I'm 95% sure everything looks fine, but still like 95% sure. You know, I felt stressed out during my pregnancy. I didn't have a partner. I decided to leave my relationship at 5 months. So I did the whole baby shower by myself, grieving. And it's when I say I was settling for the bare minimum, I was asking a person to be there for me while I was grieving. I started getting to the point where I was realizing this. I shouldn't have to ask you. I shouldn't have to tell you what's right from wrong. So it was dark and everything. Like, I would take my maternity pictures. I would feel like I'm doing this. But I also want to emphasize how when I decided, because there was a moment that I prayed a lot to God and I would ask, like, why? Like, why are you doing this? Why are you doing this to me? And I would cry a lot. And I think that he was testing my faith, because prior to my mother passing, I would open up to my mother jokingly and say, like, I don't really believe there's a God, or there may be a God, or there may be something else out there. And my mom would be like, no, like, you have to have faith. Like, that's your faith. Like, you believing that there's something, like, it's your faith. When I became pregnant, I prayed. I had a very rough time. There was a point where I decided to not keep the baby. I had the appointment scheduled to go in and have an abortion. That same day, the ultrasound place that they were trying to get me in for a while called. called me and they said, hey, you know, we have a cancellation available. Can you come in? So, and this was like the anatomy to see how far along I was at that time. And remember, just like it was the same day that I had my abortion appointment. I went in and I saw the baby and I saw how fully formed she was. And I heard the heartbeat. And I think that was it. Like, I was like, no, like, if I'm going to decide to keep the baby, I'm deciding to keep the baby. And I'm going to do it on my own because our relationship was already rocky at that point. And I said, and I thought this and I prayed about it every night when I made that decision. And I said, Mom, if I'm supposed to keep the baby, there was a job that was opening up at my work. Like, I was not qualified for it. I felt like I wasn't qualified for it. I said, Mom, like, when the opportunity presents itself, I'm going to apply and you're going to give me this job so I can provide for my baby because I'm going to keep her. It was a promotional offer. And so it was just signs that she kept sending me and, you know, God kept sending me, or I don't know, I manifested this, or I don't know how, but that was one of the things. So I ended up getting that job and I would pray, you know, I said, God, like, you're going to provide. And he provided. After that, I jokingly told my sister, I said, I'm going to test this again. I'm not kidding. Okay. I said, I'm testing this again. I said, if I have a girl, this is my mom sending me this baby. And I had a girl. And I was so happy because I felt like this was my mom sending me this baby to fill the void, like everything that I was going through. When I brought Evie home, I named her Evie. Evangeline means messenger of good news. Messenger of God. And Marie, in honor of my mom, her name was Maria, so Evangeline Marie. When I brought her home, I put a shirt on her that said, handpicked by my abuelita in heaven for earth, you know, because it felt that way. It felt like she was definitely handpicked for me. And it's so crazy because having her, as soon as I had her, I felt like this weight just lifted off of me. And I had this joy, this like bright little thing like in front of me, you know, and it was worth it because I grew through my pregnancy. I grew, I realized that I'm resilient. I realized everything that I just told you guys, you know, my motherhood journey, my self-love, how I was accepting the bare minimum. I see my baby and you would think that she'd be like this crybaby and just a rough baby, but she's not. She is so peaceful. She's calm. She's like her name. Her name is perfect for her. She's sweet. She's like, I can't explain it. My faith was definitely tested. I have to say that losing my mother just made me grow a relationship with God. I don't go to church very often, but I feel like you don't need a sacred space like that to pray and to ask God, you know, for guidance. Sometimes I forget to pray every night. I tell my kids to pray every night, but sometimes I forget to do it too. But I'll sit in my car, I'll wake up, or if I'm eating dinner, you know, I thank God. Like, there's so much gratitude in me right now. Thank God for everything, you know, for my job, for being able to stay home almost 6 months, you know, on my own, all of that. For my food, you know, for being able to attend my daughter's basketball game. I'm just full of gratitude. And I think that you don't have to have a lot of things. You just have to be thankful for what you have. I think that brings fulfillment within you because I was at a point where I felt like I had, you know, everything, but I wasn't happy. So it was never about the materialistic things, you know, and now I realize all of that.
Gosh, that was so beautiful. And like, I do think we all go through those moments where our faith is tested. For you, it's just wild how it happened. It always hits, like, I don't know, it always hits at the craziest time and you're like, what in the F? Like, why? Like, why is this going on, you know? I don't know, that's just me. And then you just take a leap of faith. You trusting, first of all, I believe that. I believe God provides. I feel like if you trust, he will provide. If you believe that, you know, that you will receive in prayer what you ask for. I totally believe that. I think it just all comes like full circle. Everything and all of your prayers and everything that you've been through and you being able to be even vulnerable right now, I think it's going to hit so many spirits. I think that's what's crazy too. Like when you hold a lot of it to yourself and you don't realize it until you sit down and really think like, gosh, like God put me through so much, but he's rewarding me with so much. And I think you're at that moment.
I feel like within myself, what I did was a lot of inner work. I would listen a lot to Tony Robbins. I listened to Tony Robbins also. And one of his podcasts would say, when you're going through a dark phase, realize in that moment what's getting you through. I think it's hard to realize it when you're going through it, but it's good to go back and realize what made you push through. And I would journal a lot too. And I go back and I don't like reading my journal because it brings that energy, that dark energy, but it makes me realize how dark it was. I realized it was my kids making me push through and myself, of course. You know, I don't want to downplay myself. Now, there's so much stigma on mothers and antidepressants and postpartum and all of that. Because again, you know, on social media, we portray perfection, right? That's what we try to portray. We try to portray happiness and perfection. And so I was excited to do this because I wanted people to see vulnerable me. What hasn't been so pretty? Oh my gosh, she's a single mother of four and she's doing it. Like, I have my hard days. I have tough days, but it's a tough day, not a tough life. I always tell myself that. And I sit in my emotions now and I ask myself, like, why? And it's okay. If I'm having a hard day, it's okay because it'll pass. Give myself 2 days, 3 days, whatever time I need to get through, it's gonna pass. And I am still on antidepressants now. And it has to do with anxiety, depression. I had insomnia for a very long time. You know, I didn't take the medication when I was pregnant, which is probably why my brain was just going crazy. But it's okay to need help. It's okay to get help. It took me a while to therapist because I do therapy also. She said, sometimes it's an aid for you to be able to function properly at some point. You know, you don't have to be on it the rest of your life. You know, there's such stigma on having mothers be on antidepressants because then we can't function. No, look at me. You can function. Like, if you need the help, go get the help. You don't have to be not functional, right? You can be functioning and still have depression and still have anxiety. Because that was me. I have like a high functioning anxiety, right? Like, and I didn't realize that I needed help until I talked to my doctor and I took, they give you an assessment and they tried to do natural ways to kind of like ease the anxiety. My symptoms were more, I was having like heart palpitation, like my eye was twitching. I couldn't sleep. Sometimes it was, I don't know, like I couldn't sleep till like 3 a.m, you know, and I would work out and try to tire myself out, or I felt like I couldn't concentrate, overthinking, but I was functioning. I was going to work, but it was more my health kind of deteriorating. And so I treated it and I feel like I'm in a better place now. I'm still taking it. I don't know how long it'll be. I now tell myself, you know, it's an aid. I won't be on antidepressants forever. Like, I will feel, and I feel pretty normal, honestly, but at some point I'll get to the point where I will no longer need this little push, you know, every day to be able to do it.
Thank you for opening up about so much. Like, for real. Yeah, I really just want to commend and honor, and I feel privileged to be in this seat and hear your story. And really want to thank you for entrusting us with this story. For me, I'm thinking about how you mentioned you were so like alone and experienced a lot of loneliness as a child, and how that pattern has like shown up again throughout your life. But I'm thinking about you yourself and like how you have yourself. And after hearing your story, you are an incredible person. You have the answers. You have a tool belt. You're so well equipped. And so I just want to remind you that, like, even if you do ever feel alone again, you have yourself. You're in relationship to yourself. And now even more so that you have your guardian angel, your mother, looking down over you.
And she has proven her energy still around me. You know, I always tell my sister, I tell her, you know, like, I don't know why, but sometimes I wish, like, I go back and I have her voicemails. And it's funny because my mom and I had a weird relationship. I loved doing things with her, but I think because she was raised in a household, her mother didn't show her that love, that physical love. It was more service, acts of service.
Yeah, it's like an old school type of love.
Yeah. It wasn't like, I love you, like, you know, or a hug or a kiss. And now I'm like that with my kids, like my 6-year-old. Sometimes it feels weird because my parents weren't like that with me. But I always tell myself, like, I am healing my inner child by doing this to my kids. Like, you will not win. Like, that trauma will not win. And I will repeat that. So I try. Obviously, it comes naturally, too. So I hold my son, like, he'll be 6 soon, and I still carry him. And he tells me, wow, Mom, you're strong. I'm like, I know. But it's a way of like,
yeah, don't forget it.
Yeah. It's like, wow, Mom, you're strong. I'm like, I know, I work out. No, but I try to do it. So, you know, I pick him up, I hug him. And today I picked him up and he's like, Mom, you know what I'm doing to you tonight? I'm like, what's that? He's like, I'm cuddling you so hard. I'm like, oh, yes. Thank you, you know?
So sweet.
Back to that, to being raised that way, I feel like my mom and I, we have this relationship where she would call me and I wouldn't answer because I would be at work. She'd call me at the most random times. And that's what parents do, right? And she'd call me and leave me a voicemail. And she'd be like, hello, hi. And then she would hang up. And those are the voicemails that I have, you know? Or she'd call, I'll call her and be like, and she would answer me like, hey, mom, did you call? Oh, yeah, I was just calling. I'm like, okay. Or she wouldn't pick up. And I would call her and say, why do you have a phone? Like, you know, you have a phone and you don't pick up your phone. And that was our relationship over the phone all the time. And it's funny because we wouldn't really talk about anything. Really, it was always like the back and forth, the phone tag. Like, she would leave me voicemail saying, hi, just calling. Okay, you must be at work. She would talk to herself, like, in my voicemail, you know? You must be at work. Call me back. But we got to a point, I think, in the last year where we grew close. Like, I would call her on my way from work to home, my commute, and I would talk to her. We would talk about the most random things. I always told my mom, like, mom, I don't like gossip. Like, don't come to me with gossip. And it's a boundary that I drew for myself because I realized that me listening to gossip brings this negative side of me, and I don't like it. Somebody comes to me like, oh, so-and-so. I'm like, don't tell me. I don't want to hear it. Tell my mom the same thing. Like, tell me like, oh, so-and-so or your sister or this. And I'd be like, mom, I don't want to hear it. And she'd be like, I'm not gossiping. I'm just chit-chatting. That was her response. We grew close the very last year or two. So definitely when I would drive from work to home, it was the small things that I was missing. Being able to pick up the phone and call her and have that conversation.
Yeah.
God has a weird way of doing things because it was the last year that I had her that I spent a lot of time with her. And I would constantly tell myself, one day she won't be here. Like us Latinos, we believe in like the saint, right? Day of the saints. Like my mom's name was Maria Guadalupe, after like the Virgin Mary. So on, I think that day, I remember I was like telling myself, like, I don't have to take my mom flowers. It's just a saint day. Why do I have to take her flowers? But then this voice came to my head and told me, one day your mom is not gonna be here. And so I went to her house and I dropped off flowers and I played this song on YouTube for her, you know, and I walked in and she started crying, you know, and I gave her a hug and I said, mom, like, why are you crying? Like, but I realized now how, I don't know if it was God talking to me, making me grow closer to her in the last year, but the very last memories I do have of her, very valuable.
No, yeah, God was looking out for you.
Yeah, sure. I think so. I know that your podcast, Jen, is based on like testimonies and faith and all of that. And I don't know if you do attract people that solely only believe in God or not. I believe in God. And I think it's my faith was tested and I received the reassurance that I needed. A lot of the times, I think people think like there's this God, this one figure, right? But I think God is also a form of energy. As a form of energy, positivity, love, and I don't want to go into the buy one stuff and I want to talk about that. But I think that living by that, it's just a way to enforce us. Live the right way. Be a good person. Show kindness. Be kind. Be love. You know, you don't have to. A lot of the times it's about perspective and how you take things. Like, for example, when we were talking earlier and where I said, Cheyenne, where you don't have to come off like defensive. It can be more like, oh, you know, in a sweeter way.
Yeah, no. Just real quick, I didn't really start my whole spiritual journey until like a year ago. And then, so I don't pick people based on their belief in God, but I do feel like God is blessing this podcast with the people that he connects us with. Because it's just crazy how things work, and it's crazy how powerful testimonies are. And I didn't even understand this until I was also going through a hard time. So
Jen's going to need her own episode.
No, yeah, because I did not understand. And I also felt like there was also something telling me, like, you need to start a podcast. Even Cheyenne can vouch for this. I didn't even know what I was doing. You know, there was just something in me was like, there has to be more light. I appreciate you being open about your faith and all of that.
Power of letting go and letting God.
Hey, there it is.
It's the power of letting go and letting God. A lot of the times we want to hold on to something and you don't realize that that something holds you back from your potential. You know, like I mentioned earlier, I was so afraid. I was giving fear my power. I was so afraid of letting go and letting God. It felt wrong when I had my whole family, and it felt wrong, but I didn't know why until I gave up in my relationship. I gave up on the idea of having a family. A family doesn't have to be two parents. It doesn't have to be two parents and your kids. Your kids are better off in two happy homes than one toxic home. And so I had to let go of that idea of that blueprint in my head. I was always so stuck on, I want to get married. I want to have a family. Like, I want this picture perfect, but that's not my purpose. No, honestly, it is not, because I'm happier now, happier. And there is so much power in feeling, you know, if you feel that void and listening to your inner wisdom and letting go, like just let go of whatever is holding you back. Those negative energies, those negative friendships, negative relationships, let it go. You don't have to be rude. You don't have to cause drama. It's like a boundary. Yeah. And you can draw that boundary with kindness, where you choose to distance yourself and you're going to let God. You know, God will remove those people from your life, but you need to let God.
Amen.
You know, right. And I'm not where I want to be yet. Spiritually, I feel like I am. Like, I love where I'm at right now. I am enjoying what I'm doing now. I am currently on maternity leave and I get to spend the time with my baby. And it's not something that I was able to do in my relationship. I was with a whole other person that was supposed to, you're supposed to accomplish more when it's two. And I feel like by myself, and I think again, you know, this is all God letting me know, like, you can do it, Angela. You know, you can do it. Sometimes I doubt myself and then my voice has to tell my mind, like, I can do it. Like, my head is telling me, no, you can't. You can't. No, yes, I can. It's me against me. And I tell my kids, this, and I live by this with them and in my relationships. We are a team. I'm not against you. I'm with you. And I tell my kids that all the time. If we are siding differently, I always tell them, we are a team. I'm not against you. I am with you. You know, let's talk about it. And I'm a talker too, as you can tell. So I tell my kids, like, let's communicate. Let's be open, you know? But going back to that, the power of just letting go and letting God, like, trust it. It's the faith, you know, and I hope that if there's anybody, any mom feeling this void and this unhappiness, like, you know, just let God. And I don't mean, you know, be irresponsible and walk out of your house right now. No, but God, pray. God, ask God to show you a way, and he will. I wanted to touch on taking your power back. And I think that in motherhood, a lot of the times we lose ourselves. We give, and we leave ourselves hanging dry. And I think that it's very important to separate motherhood from your being. When I left my relationship, I realized that I didn't know who I was, you know, outside of being a mother and being a partner. I started asking myself questions. What do I like? What do I like to do? And I couldn't answer that question. My light was dimmed. My spirit was broken for a little bit. I'm getting to know myself all over again. And that's what I mean by taking your power back. Find what you like. You know, what do you like to do outside of being a mother? Outside of cooking your dinners and your meal plans and taking your kids to school and dropping them off. I'm sure some women are in love with that, and that's what they feel is their purpose. But outside of that, who are you as a person, you know, as a soul person outside of motherhood? And I think I took my power back. I want to say, not I think, I know I took my power back.
Yes, good correction.
Yes, I know I took my power back, because I can now separate my motherhood. I mean, I have my kids 24/7. You know, they're around me all the time. And I'm very open. Sometimes my son, I have to tell him, like, son, you're overstimulating me right now. Like, let's take a break. Like, go to your room. And it's funny how he knows what overstimulating means. Like, he's such big words. I'm like, you're overstimulating me right now. You know, and so he knows. Now I can sit with myself in my room and say, I enjoy reading. I love listening to podcasts. I love working out. Who am I outside of motherhood? That's who I am. I am this bright person that I want to bring positivity to people. It's not something that I knew back then. There is so much power in getting to know yourself. Sometimes when I have hard days, this is crazy, and sometimes I look crazy, but I'll sit in my car and I tell myself, like, it's okay. Don't judge me for this, but I hug myself.
Cheyenne does it too.
I do that too. She does it too, girl. That's a must, honestly. That's self-soothing.
Okay, I hug myself. Oh, yeah, sit in my car. And sometimes I tell my daughter, like, I need a hug, and I'll hug them a little tighter. Sometimes I'll hug my knees. or my sister a little tighter, like just for one more second, or I'll sit there and I'm like, it's going to be okay, you know? And again, I like to sit in my emotions because it's okay. It's okay to have rough days. If you need to cry, cry. If you need to drive to the beach and get a burger and cry, do it.
Hey, that sounds good.
If you don't have to, it doesn't have to be like in line, you know, but feel it. Get to know yourself.
Girl, I went for a drive and I cried in the car. I know exactly what you mean. I've went
and I bought a burger before and I drove to Marina Beach and I've sat there and I've cried and I drank a big old soda and ate my burger. Not gonna lie, I have done that before. Like, I'm like, there it is.
Girl, yeah, I'm gonna get some. I've done that. I've gone French fries, McDonald's French fries, went through the drive through. And then, yeah, I parked by Ocean Beach, Cheyenne, and I just cried and ate my French fries. Like, it was just a whole moment. Mm-hmm. And yes. It's fine.
Yes. And you know how good you feel after that? It's like, sometimes you need it, right? You just need to, like, sit there and, like, let it out. And it's okay. It's okay to have those days. And I want to emphasize to everybody that feels like you have to have it all together. No, you don't.
Absolutely.
Do something. I feel like for everybody, you know, all the mothers, I know it's hard to find time to do your hair, do your makeup, throw on nice clothes. Like, honestly, I'm in gym clothes 24/7. Like, my face may look like this, but I am wearing gym clothes 24/7 because if I go to the gym, I just throw my hair up. But I also want to look nice and it makes me feel good. I do it for myself. You know, it makes me feel great. But if I'm not wearing a full face, I'm at least wearing earrings. You better bet.
Mm-hmm.
Because it makes me feel pretty. So do one thing that makes you feel pretty. Where, whatever that is, you know, if it's wearing fuzzy socks, I don't know, jeans, mm-hmm. even if your hair, whatever makes you feel like you're loving yourself. For me, it's my hair and my earrings. Like, I have to do my hair or my earrings. I care about wearing the makeup, but I have to wear earrings.
Same. I'm the same way. I cannot get caught without earrings. I feel so weird. I'm just like, it's missing. Right? My head is all up here by itself. Like, what's going on?
I feel the same way, Cheyenne. And I feel like, I don't know, it just makes me feel so pretty. You know, earrings and my hair is done. But I didn't figure that out till later, you know. And it's do one thing every day that makes you feel good about yourself, whatever that is. And I promise you, little by little, you're going to start doing things for your own self-love, whether that's drinking more water, I don't know, meal prepping, your food, whatever, taking a short walk, anything that's to show yourself that you love yourself. Because we do it for our partners, right? So why not reciprocate that energy towards yourself?
Something I think you're teaching us all very inexplicitly is just to, like, listen to yourself. The whole story started when you were 16, you started having sex because people around you were having sex, and then God blessed you with your first baby girl. And I think that event has a theme into everything where it's like, you were kind of trying to find yourself in society's view, and like, how do I fit in and have this perfect family and this perfect relationship with my mother? But at the end of the day, like, life is whatever you make it. There is no one way to live, no one way to be. Looking at you now and hearing like how you overcame all of these things that were not relative to you, and you really own your narrative and your authenticity and who you are, like, that is why you are happy, you know? And I remember you wrote that on your, and I loved that you said that. You said, don't go in your head where your body is not. Live in the present, whatever that is. Choose what makes you happy at the end of the day.
Yes, let's clap for that. Yes, and you know what? That was actually something that I have taped on my computer every day, because we tend to sit there, and that's the first thing I want to see when I walk and I'm somewhere where I'm in 9 hours a day. I want to make sure I'm constantly reassuring myself, like, don't go in your head where your body is not. And by that is, your body's not there in that moment. Why think it? Be present, and your happy doesn't have to be my happy.
Yeah.
And I try to teach my kids that. I feel like a lot of kids right now have this whole thing at school about being bisexual and lesbian and gay and all of that. My kid home with, you know, and my son, he's 5, he doesn't understand. And he tries to joke around and he told me, he's like, that's gay. And I'm like, son, you don't say that. And so I paused him because I joke with them a lot, but I also have this serious face when I'm being serious, right? And he noticed that I was being serious. And I said, look, gay means that you like somebody that's, you know, the same sex as you, whether that's a girl and a boy. I said, but if that person likes that and it makes them happy, you have no right to call somebody that name. It means to offend. He's only 5. but I swear he understands what I'm telling him. And I said, you don't use that word in my house. Okay, mom. And that was that. And he knows, you know, that he can't use that word in my house. And I continue to reinforce this on him because, and on my girls, because I tell them what makes you happy may not make me happy, but do what makes you happy, you know, and that's for everyone. Your happy may look different than my happy, and that's okay.
There is no one way to be at all. And that's such a valuable lesson to learn, honestly. Do we want to talk about dating as a single mom in that sexy topic? Woohoo!
So dating as a single mom, I'm not there yet, but keyword, right? I have been asked out on a lot of dates and I'm very open, you know, I'm very open with these potential candidates. Where I tell them like, hey, I'm not emotionally available, like we can hang out, something casual, you know, or they ask me, and by casual, I don't mean like, oh, let's go like hook up, but I mean like, oh, let's go grab lunch or let's go on like a social like place, you know, we can go grab a drink because I'm not looking for a relationship right now. I'm focused in myself right now. I feel like I'm enjoying where I'm at. I'm not missing anything. So if something organically happens, if I meet somebody and there's chemistry and develops organically, for all means, naturally, you know, no pressure, I'm open, but I want to get to know people. You know, I want to get out of my comfort zone. I said that 2022 was a year reinventing myself. I want to try new things. I want to build a new me with experiences this year. I am open to making friends. My daughters, I am very open with them. So they kind of know, like, if somebody texts my phone or whatever. But I let them know, like, oh, it's just a friend. And they're like, oh, mom, you should go. Like, you should go. Recently, I had some random person, that follower, send me, I think it was 2 dozens of chocolate-covered strawberries.
Okay.
2 dozen. And only so that 1 dozen.
Nice. Oh. Right? And so that was very nice. It was very thoughtful. It was very kind of him to do that. But I've also had other, you know, guys tell me like, hey, let's go grab coffee, or like, let's go to the beach, or like, I went to go have brunch and some guy like sang to me and serenaded me, you know, and it's so nice, honestly, and it's kind. And I feel like, how am I attracting all this? But I'm attracting it, and I'm not looking for nothing serious. My daughters are like, mom, go, like, it's fine. I'm okay for now, for now. You know, I'm open. I'm in a place where I also say like, okay, if I do start dating at some point, I would want to date someone, but kind of like, you do your own thing, I do my own thing. Like, I want to wait till at least 2 of my daughters are like 18 years old. Like, we can date, but it doesn't have to be something like commitment, marriage. Yeah, I think a lot of that stems going back to my childhood, having a stepfather for so many years, and then my daughters having a stepfather for more than half of their life, and then me taking that from them, you know, and then jumping into something again where I'm exposing them to that hurt again. And I've always said this, I would always put them first before me. I realized that they are what's most important and will always be what's most important. I believe that God will present lessons in your life and keep repeating them until you learn what he's trying to teach you.
Yes. Amen.
Yes. And I've had 2 failed relationships where I no longer want to repeat that. My focus is them. Again, if something develops organically, I think I have try not to be controlling, and I try like, okay, let God, Angela, let God, you know, but I want to protect them too. So that's where I'm at right now. I'm open to developing new friendship, but outside of that.
Sounds intentional. And in line with creating what makes you happy.
But I love that you even brought it up, because I feel like there is that stigma about single moms dating. But at the end of the day, you being intentional about everything. And I think that's like something where that's where the judging comes in from outside. Like, she has 4 kids. Why is she worrying about dating? It's like, it's not even that. You know what I mean? You are in charge of everything in your life, and you can make all your own decisions, and you are being super intentional about what your kids need, what you want long term. You know what I mean? So I think in those moments, I know it's not happening yet, girl, but in those moments, don't doubt yourself. And I feel like maybe that's where like single moms may doubt themselves when it comes to, can I allow myself to be happy in another relationship? And it's like, yeah, you can. You know, I don't think people should feel ashamed of that or doubt that they are capable of having that. Just wanted to throw that out there, because I think I don't like when people like judge, because it's like, thus too will be judged. You know what I mean?
I agree. I hate tossing this word around, and I also don't like the word hate. It's very strong, but I really, really, really dislike tossing the word trauma around, you know, but I feel like, at least for me, I was told, you know, in my relationship, it had to do a lot with mental abuse, you know, where I was constantly told, like, nobody's going to want you with kids. Nobody's going to want you with kids. Nobody's going to want you with four kids. Now I'm like, you liar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sometimes I would question myself and doubt myself and say, you know, nobody's going to want me with all these kids. But that's a lie. If you're a mom and you're listening, no, don't believe those lies. A lot of the time, moms and even our like older generation, our parents, they stuck through the marriage abuse, everything.
Yeah.
Because there was this whole thing about nobody's going to want you with kids.
Yeah.
Or being a single mother. It was like frowned upon.
Mm-hmm.
Why? We're not the last person. We're not the last mother on earth going to be a single mother. And at the end of the day, sometimes if it's easier by yourself, right? If you can make yourself happier, why not? If you can be a better parent for your kids by yourself, why not?
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, when you're happy, you make your kids happier. Yeah. And I think that's very important to realize that when you are happy, you are a better parent.
I completely agree. And you are breaking so many like stigmas, so many norms. Definitely want to commend you on that. That's not easy work to break those generational curses, start completely fresh, even if you don't have that experience. Like you said, like, it's so foreign to me to be lovey-dovey with them, but I'm doing it and it's working. And now my son just can't wait to cuddle me at night. And it can be scary to take those risks and those first steps, but as you said, you're getting those messages from God, from your body, giving you purpose. And that's what you need to do, is continue to break these generational curses, these stigmas. Yeah, and lead by example.
I posted something on my story today and it said, let me go back and read it. But it was something about giving people second chances. I'm bringing this up because it's not just about people, right? It's about also your children. We expect kids to be perfect all the time and be able to learn the first time you tell them. But we're so open in allowing people outside of our kids to do things to us over and over again. And I think the post said something about, like, you're delaying your healing, or you seeking closure just delays your healing, right? But in a way, I took it more like a second chance type of thing. I wanted to apply that, the like giving second opportunities to people, because I feel like I wanted to apply it to kids too, because I feel like we expect our children to do things right like the very first time we tell them, right? A lot of the times we need to, as parents, and even for myself, I have to constantly remind myself, like, I am their teacher. Like, I have to teach them all the time, and I have to allow them opportunities like over and over and over again, you know. And I constantly have to mentally tell myself, like, I am their teacher. I am teaching them, because they forget. Kids forget. We forget. And like, anytime I do something like this, I feel like I'm healing my inner child. I'm giving my 7-year-old self a hug, pat on the back, and I'm doing it for them and I'm doing it for myself. Gentle parenting, right? I don't really believe in hitting and spanking. And I tell my daughters, like, do you want to get spanked? That's embarrassing. Like, you're 13. You do not want to get spanked. Yeah. Like, I don't want to get spanked, because I feel like it's a respect thing for them too. It's a boundary for them. When I was growing up, my mom was very physically abusive, extremely, but it was her way of disciplining me, and she didn't know any better. You know, that's how her mother raised her. And so I think my whole, like, I don't want to hit, like, talk, like, let's talk about it, stems from that, because it was physically abused as a child. And it felt belittling, felt disrespectful, and I don't think I want to put that on my kids now.
It is those things. So you're completely right to name it like that. That's how generations work, right? We build on top of the other ones, even if we weren't given that knowledge and that advice. But also, honestly, a true testament to you being a change maker, for sure.
I'm growing. I'm trying every single day. I'm tested, but I'm definitely trying. And I constantly remind myself, I'm breaking generational curses. I'm breaking generational curses.
You are. Mm-hmm. And it's not easy work.
It's not. Definitely, it's not.
Shoot, we could be here all night. We really could. We could have like a sleepover and just,
I know, right?
Record all night. Wow. Shoot.
We really could.
I'm okay with that. it's a lot. I didn't get to touch really all my childhood. Who I am now has a lot to do with that. So I wanted to touch on this because as a little girl, I was sexually molested by my brother. So my mom did not find out I was sexually molested by my brother till I was about 18 years old. I mean, I have two sisters myself, and then it was like one boy. There's this whole like males, like they're just on a throne, you know, at least my culture. So when my mother found out, she didn't believe me. And so that's where our bond just kind of for many years, it broke our bond. It hurt me because my sister, you know, was present when all of the abuse was happening. And she's only 2 years older than me. She remembers some of it. We talked about it that one time when I was 18 and didn't talk about it until a year before she passed away. And the reason why we talked about it was because I was dropping her off in Calexico. My family's from, well, my mom's sisters are from Mexicali, which is like right across the border, Calexico, Stone, California. I was dropping her off there. My sister was living there. They actually wanted to have my brother over. This is where I was learning like boundaries, right? I was working on my boundaries. I told my mom and everybody that was there, I said, I'm here. I said, Mom, you know the harm he did to me? Keep in mind, we hadn't spoke about this in like 10 years. So I said, Mom, you know what happened? I would appreciate if you guys would respect and not have him here because I'm only here for a day or two and he lived here. So please allow me to leave and he can come and see you. He hadn't seen my mom in about like 14 years or something like that. I was the one that was being called crazy. I was the one that was being called dramatic, but I stood in my power. It was heartbreaking. Because, you know, to have my mother just tell me like, oh, you're here to kind of tarnish him. I'm like, no, because I would have told everybody. Nobody's aware of this. Like, none of our family is aware of this. Mm-hmm. Going through all of that, I realize that now I'm a very forgiving person. I don't hold grudges. But like I said, I like to separate my energy. This person brought so much harm, brings this darkness out of me, and I would rather just not have that relationship. This is why kind of too, like I never wanted to heal the relationship with my father because it's like I'm older now. I was there for myself. Yeah. Where were you when I needed you the most? And I'm not encouraging people to be this way. I don't have, yeah. I don't feel hate. I can see him. I can wave at him. But I just don't want that relationship. So that also triggers a lot of things with me and my kids, being overprotective, being open with my children. I like to say that it molded me to be a better person. I used to not be able to talk about it because I would cry, but I know I've healed from it because I'm able to open up, you know, and be strong.
Good.
And not let it break me down. Of course, that took a lot of time, but... I wanted to touch on my childhood a little bit. It's kind of a lot to take in.
Yeah, I'm speechless. I'm so sorry. I'm speechless. It's crazy to me also because I feel like a lot of people on the podcast have talked about abuse. The whole, your power is taking it back. You had so much going on, taking from you. Looking at you today, it's honestly amazing how you haven't let any of that harden your heart. I know you said you had a broken spirit, but to see you now is so amazing. To have you here on this podcast, even to bless with your wisdom and your testimony, is also such an honor and super valuable. I pray that it's also crazy because I think why we don't talk about this and why families don't talk about abuse and sexual abuse or violence or addiction, whatever it is, I feel like it's kind of like those familiar spirits trying to like build and keep going through every generation. And so, right? And I just feel like I pray that your voice and your message like gets lifted because you're not alone in any of this. I know Cheyenne has also opened up about that, and that was also something for me, like, wow, like it's really crazy how that is almost a lot of families.
And see, that's what and that's what I mean by breaking, you know, generational curses, where they have been prolonged for so long. And I feel like it's because nobody has talked about it. Nobody has been open to say it is not okay, or like, this has happened to me. I'm open with my daughters, both of them. They are aware. They're obviously not aware about like the events that happen. I'm very open and I let them know, hey, like there's boundaries. You're not liking this. Like somebody's making you feel uncomfortable. You say, hey, you're making me feel uncomfortable. I want them to grow up empowered to be able to speak up to me. And I tell them like, don't be afraid. Speak up. God gave you a voice. Use it. For me, it was not having a parent figure there that I felt I could trust and open up to. And when I did, you know, I wasn't believed. And I think for a while that constantly, you know, I think that I've been broken and I tend to come out stronger every time. I don't know exactly, man, by the time I'm done with my healing process, I'm going to be, I don't know, man, walking on water.
You're lifting up a family, girl. That's what it is. You're lifting up a whole family. Yeah, you really are. You are. You're carrying them right now. And you're carrying it for two people. Really. Because you are it. And like I think Cheyenne was saying this too. Like moms have that duty. And it's like you're pulling double duty. I think that's what's so powerful about your testimony and being a single mom. And, you know, taking that power back. And really... Mm-hmm. Taking that power back, but also breaking mm-hmm. those patterns and being vulnerable, letting go of all those fears, not letting any of those fears win. I think it's going to be amazing. I think your kids are super blessed to have you as a mom.
Thank you. Thank you. I tell them, you know, I'm trying. I'm learning with you guys. You guys are teaching me. I'm teaching you. Every day, you know, it's a constant reminder to myself too. Like, okay, today's going to be a good day. Like, it's going to be hard, but it's going to be a good day. I feel like the way I'm able to handle everything now is routine, staying on schedule, staying on top of them. And it sucks, honestly, because sometimes mm-hmm. I feel like I want to be that fun parent. Totally. I want to be the, hey, like, why do yeah. I have to mm-hmm. be the one that disciplines? And I've cried, you know, where it's kind of like, I want to be that fun parent. I want to be the one that's like, okay, you know, let's,
yeah.
I don't know, be goofy yeah. with them. And I am, you know, I sit there and I make TikToks and I fool around, but I have to be both. It's like my poker face. You know, I have to be the one that provides the discipline and I have to be the fun parent. And I think that's hard to balance, mm-hmm. to be honest. But aside from that, I'm enjoying the process. Mm-hmm. You know, when my daughters are older and my son and my kids, I know I'm going to look at them and be like, I did that. And I always tell them, like, you don't have to go to college. As long as you can make a living to support yourself, I don't care what you do. I'm not judging you. I said, as long as you can make a living to support yourself, I am all for it, whatever you want to do. And like, no pressure on you if you don't want to, because not everybody wants to.
How blessed our future generations are, because this generations of mothers are changing the game for sure.
I follow a lot of like entrepreneurs on the internet and a lot of people that like, you know, didn't go to college. And I'm like, okay, well, it's okay if you don't want to. But I support you. And I want them to know that I support them. I'm excited. I'm excited to see what my children are going to bring home. I'm going to be sitting here like, these traumas you got, huh? No, just kidding. Right now that my daughters are in middle school, I observe a lot. And there's actually a lot of mothers that are single. You'd be surprised. There are a lot of mothers that didn't stay with their first marriage, you know, and I think now it's becoming normalized to not stick in those marriages where you're unhappy. And I think that we're in the time where, like you said, you know, you're excited to see what we're bringing, because we're normalizing so many things that we've dealt with for so many years and generations after generations. Yeah.
Pulling back the layers and really exposing it.
I want to keep going. So Angela, is there anything else on your heart that you want to let go? I want to give you the respect and the time. So if there's anything else on your heart, let me know.
No, I think I touched on everything that I wanted to, Jen. And I mean, there's a lot. We can sit here and write a whole book, but.
And you should do that, by the way.
You think so?
I do.
Yes.
That's great. Honestly, I think that's history, right? Or her story. Like, textbooks is not it.
I know. I used to have a coworker and she'd be like, what happened on your telenovela today? Like, what's going on? Mm-hmm,
right.
It's like, man, girl, every time you come in on a Monday morning, something crazy happened to you. I'm like, I'm serious. Have you seen that? Have you seen that Kevin Hart stand-up show where he's like calling into work and he's like, it's because I saw a zebra. And they're like, what's a zebra? Like a deer and a zebra? Like, those are the type of weird things that would happen to me. I swear. I hope that I can reach, you know, somebody that's going through what I was going through, or just bring positivity, or if this podcast, this episode can give somebody the encouragement and power to say, like, I can do it. I hope that that's what they can take from this. And this is my testimony. A lot of the times we are so sucked into the materialistic world, mm-hmm. and happiness is way beyond that. I guarantee you, having somebody next to you, it's something that's like inside. So That's it.
That's just the beginning, actually, but yes. I feel like we need to pray. Bow our heads.
If you feel it, let's do it. Let's do it.
I might want to add to it too. So yes, let's make it an open space for prayer. Yeah.
Okay, please jump in here. Yeah. Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ, thank you for allowing us to come together tonight to share stories, to listen with open hearts and open minds. I feel deeply blessed and honored to hear the story of Angela, and I'm so excited for the people that it's going to touch. I am forever grateful for the people that you bring into my life, and I want to know and others to know that nothing is random, truly. So it is not coincidence that us three beautiful women sat here tonight and held space for each other. I really want to thank God for mothers. Without mothers, none of us would be here. I'll pass it to you, Jen.
I prayed prior to this, God, and I just feel like you totally delivered. I feel like you helped us be present. I feel like you were in this space, lifting our spirits, lifting our voices, God. And I just pray that, I pray for the moms out there who are in those dark times, who are feeling that they can't get out. I pray that they hear this message, that Angela's voice is lifted. I pray over their homes. I pray over their kids. God, I pray that through all of this, through this whole testimony, that nothing is taken for granted, and that everything that was shared, all the wisdom that you continue to give all of us, but especially Angela, that I pray that it just gets to whoever it needs to get to in your timing, God.
Amen. Amen. Ashe, ashe. Please watch over us, protect us, keep us safe.
Thank you, ladies.
Thank you for everything. Thank you for being open, coming through, making the time, because we all know you got 4 kids. So thank you.
Thank you, guys. I wish I could give you a big
hug. I know, for real. Definitely sending you a hug, and stay strong.